We're discussing this highly pathogenic avian flu outbreak, what it means for spreading to flocks in Wisconsin and the Midwest. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer. Ken, glad you could be here. 16 states now, including Wisconsin, have reported cases to the USDA, finding the virus in commercial poultry, in backyard flocks this year. The nationwide outbreak this year, they've led to the loss of roughly 7.4 million birds to date. What questions do you have about the spread of bird flu? Are you a poultry farmer? What concerns you about this outbreak? 800-642-1234 to join in. Ron Kane is a faculty associate and extension specialist in the Department of Animal and Dairy Sciences at UW-Madison. Ron, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
So we can all get on the same page. What is this highly contagious virus that is spreading in birds?
Yeah, so avian influenza, you know, we think about human influenza and it's a respiratory disease and somewhat similar. This is an influenza that affects poultry and birds. In this case, with the highly pathogenic form, it does cause a lot of deaths. So it's a pretty dangerous virus to get in a poultry farm.
And just to state early on, is there a risk of transmission of the virus from live birds to people?
At this point, no. There have been a few rare situations, especially in some Asian countries, where a few people have gotten influenza from it, but they're usually in very close contact with the birds. So for a person, you know, buying chicken or eggs, there's, I would say, no risk.
And there are different strains of avian flu. The one circulating now is H5N1. How significant are the differences in bird flu strains?
Yeah, quite significant. There are some, you know, we mentioned this was high path. There are low pathogenic strains that really cause almost no symptoms in many cases. So there are some variations. This H5 typically is one of the worst ones. And so this is one reason we try to get rid of it as quickly as we can.
We learned this week about the Jefferson County poultry facility. Nearly 3 million birds culled, euthanized in order to prevent the spread of bird flu. What is the status of incidents in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so currently, as far as we know, that's the only one. And let's hope it stays that way. You know, the Department of Ag and State Department of Agriculture and U.S. Department of Agriculture will both be working, checking other farms in that area and poultry flocks. So hopefully we can nip it in the bud.
What can you tell us about the spread as you watch it nationwide this year? And how does it compare to the last big outbreak in 2015?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's quite widespread this year. There have been, as you mentioned, I think 16 states. I think one difference from 2015, we're seeing quite a few more backyard flocks and small flocks testing positive this year. There were some in 2015, but by and large, it was mostly commercial flocks. So that's a difference. I think there's also been a lot more positive tests in wild birds this time. So I don't know if that's good or bad, but there seem to have been a lot more wild birds carrying it.
Ron Kane, a faculty associate and extension specialist at UW-Madison, expert on poultry production and management as we look at bird flu and the impact here in Wisconsin and the Midwest, with taking your questions as well. What do you want to know about the avian flu detection in Wisconsin? Are you a poultry farmer? Have you had to cull your flock? What is your experience? 800-642-1234. Ron, you know, you mentioned wild birds, and I think I counted this week that bird flu has infected wild birds in about 24 states. What are the dangers to wild birds, especially at this time of migration?
So some of the wild birds, especially some of the ducks and geese, seem to be able to carry this virus without too many symptoms themselves, which is kind of bad for us because that continues to spread it around. But some of the other birds, there have been some deaths. I believe I've seen some pelicans have died. In years past, oh, I think I saw a vulture was one of them that had died. So it does cause deaths in wild birds as well.
So how could a small backyard flock get this virus? How would it spread to a small backyard?
We think that the most common spread is from the wild birds, and they can spread this virus in their nasal secretions, their saliva, and also in their feces, which is a little different for a respiratory virus, but it does also spread in their feces. And so, you know, if you've got commingling with wild ducks and geese especially, that's certainly a risk that the birds would pick it up there.
Let's bring on a caller now. Joe is joining us from Stevens Point. Hi, Joe. What is your question?
Yeah, good morning. Thanks. Excellent topic. And I guess with the upcoming turkey season, does this flu affect wild turkeys, grouse, woodcock? And if so, if a person does get lucky enough to harvest a turkey, how can you tell if the bird is affected by it?
Excellent questions. Thank you.
Yeah, that is a good question. It certainly can affect wild turkeys. It affects domestic turkeys. I haven't seen with grouse and some others, but I am fairly certain it could affect them. Really, I think with this highly pathogenic strain, probably the birds are going to die fairly quickly. So the chances of you getting one, you know, in that time frame between it being exposed and dying, I think would be pretty slim. But again, if you cook the bird well and really even cleaning it, you shouldn't have a lot of exposure to it.
Joe, thank you for that question. Along those lines, Ron Kane, how can a hobby or commercial farmer know if their flock has the avian flu?
Yeah, I think in some ways I won't say it's a good thing, but again, this one does seem to be pretty lethal. So probably you'll see sort of sudden deaths in the flock. Some other things, there can be some swelling around the head, could be respiratory problems of sneezing. You might see some like purplish coloration because of hemorrhaging. One thing I've heard from some is just a real lethargy and stop eating and drinking. So if you see that in multiple birds, I would get a little concerned.
Can you describe what happens once a farmer reports an outbreak of avian flu on their farm? What are the protocols?
Yeah. And I will say this is, again, a joint between the State Department of Ag and USDA. So I'm kind of, you know, reporting what I've heard from them. But typically there would, if you suspect disease, there would be tests taken to the veterinary diagnostic lab. Those are usually nasal swab or oral swabs. And once a positive is there, the farm would be quarantined, so nothing would move off of that farm. Generally, then, again, those birds would be euthanized that are on that flock. They also would draw a perimeter of approximately 10 kilometers around that farm.
Mm-hmm.
And any birds, poultry within that circle would be quarantined. They would not be euthanized necessarily. They would be tested, and as long as they remain negative, they would be okay. But it is a quarantine for that area.
UW poultry specialist Ron Kane with us explaining the outbreak of bird flu in the U.S., what it signals for poultry operations here in Wisconsin. Do you remember the avian flu outbreak of 2015? What were its impacts? How can we better prevent the spread of animal diseases in Wisconsin and around the nation? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Ron Kane here on the Ideas Network. We're discussing the spread of the highly contagious and deadly in birds, avian influenza, on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin's first known case documented earlier this week at a commercial chicken operation in Jefferson County with nearly 2.8 million birds. These viruses, highly lethal to farm-raised poultry, also dangerous to wild birds we've been talking about. What do you want to know about testing? How to control the spread? Are you concerned about your own backyard chickens? What questions on your are on your mind about keeping your flock safe? 800-642-1234. UW Poultry Production and Management Specialist Ron Kane with us for about nine more minutes. Ron, let's look at some prevention measures. What steps can poultry farmers take? What steps can people who have backyard flocks take to prevent, you know, their flock from contracting avian flu?
Yeah. So again, I think the key thing, as far as we know, is that this is spreading from wild birds. And so anything you can do to prevent contact between those wild birds and your domestic birds is a key. You know, I think ideally we would keep birds inside, and that would help a lot. However, obviously that isn't the only solution, because some of these large facilities that have tested positive, I'm sure, were inside. Mm-hmm. But again, limiting that contact is a key thing. So even if your birds are outside doing things to keep them away from wild birds, you know, keeping feed and water inside potentially so that it doesn't attract wild birds would be something to consider.
Also to consider that the farmers have to implement a biosecurity plan. Is something like this part of a biosecurity plan?
Yes. And so, as you mentioned, they have to have a biosecurity plan. So it would include that. It would include things like rodent control, which there's some evidence that rodents may carry this, not so much carrying it, but physically transferring it into a building from outside. Mm. Other things would be looking at equipment that might come from other areas where there are birds, cleaning and disinfecting those, things like that. One concern is really people spread. And so, you know, having designated shoes to wear in your poultry coop so that you're not tracking something in from outside, or having plastic boots to cover, things like that would be other things to consider.
Let's look at the economic effects. You know, for farmers who have to euthanize their flocks, isn't that a massive monetary loss to the business? Is there insurance for that, or does the government pay poultry farmers who've lost their entire enterprise to bird flu?
It is a massive expense. And yes, the USDA has an indemnity program. And so if once you test positive, they will pay for birds that have to be euthanized. And the goal is to euthanize those birds that are potentially carrying it as quickly as possible. And so that kind of stimulates that, because they will pay for those birds. They don't pay for future production and things like that. And so there is quite a loss there, even though the cost of the birds is covered.
What do you think this could do to egg prices, to the cost for poultry products?
Yeah, that depends a lot on how widespread it becomes. In 2015, we did see quite an increase in egg prices. The chicken meat wasn't severely affected at that time. We did see turkeys, quite a loss in turkeys, and so turkey prices went up. So we'll see if a lot of farms get contract this, then we could see some real increases in price.
You know, humans have a flu season. We know when the flu season is. Is this similar? Are we in bird flu season, or does it have a season?
Historically, I would say yes. The flu virus survives better in cool temperatures like we see now. So if we would get a string of warm weather, historically that has helped. There's also probably the migration involved. And so once birds have moved through and gotten to their summer nesting areas, that probably will decrease the spread quite a bit. So hopefully, yes, it's the season. The reason I say historically is because this has been in Europe for the last couple of years, and it has not completely disappeared through the summer like it had historically.
Ron Cain with us, Faculty Associate Extension Specialist in the Department of Animal and Dairy Sciences at UW-Madison, as we talk about bird flu, the spread, what impact it has on Wisconsin flocks. You can join in, backyard chicken farmers, urban chicken farmers. What questions do you have for a poultry specialist? What do your chicken coops look like? How did you transform your backyard into a chicken coop? 800-642-1234. Transitioning here, Ron, into backyard chicken coop operations. If someone wants to, you know, keep chickens in the near future, what should they consider? How do you put that together?
Yeah, so in general, aside from bird flu, first of all, I would suggest making sure it's legal where you live. That varies from different localities. The second step would be to consider your housing, I think. Make sure it's predator-proof and really convenient for holding the birds. Convenient to clean is always a key. And then there's a widespread group of chickens that you can get. And I would suggest it's kind of like people looking through the garden catalogs. You can get hatchery catalogs with different breeds of chickens. And so I'd spend some time there. There are some pros and cons to different breeds, but a lot of it is just what you like. And there's a lot of colors and shapes and different types.
So do different breeds have different space requirements? How much space do chickens need?
Yeah, there are quite differences in size. So there are bantam chickens that, you know, maybe weigh a pound. There are some of the larger breeds that get up to 10 or 12 pounds. So they're going to need different areas. I would say, you know, a rule of thumb has been a minimum of 4 square feet per hen. And that's kind of for a medium size to small size chicken. Mm-hmm. I would say most people, if they're just going to have a few chickens, will have more space than that.
You mentioned keeping the coop clean. What is the best strategy for keeping your coop clean?
Keep it dry. That's probably the key. Mm-hmm. A lot of odors come when it gets wet. And so making sure you have good drainage and don't have water coming in is a key. A lot of people will use wood shavings, and that works quite well. And you can kind of clean them when it starts to get a little dirty, but that usually works well.
What should you check to ensure your coop is safe from those predators, especially at night?
Yeah. You know, using good solid wire, hardware cloth is pretty common to cover any windows and vents, latches on the doors, you know, to make sure that a corner can't be pulled open. Raccoons are pretty good about finding little corners to open. Covering the top is good, especially even during the day for hawks and owls and things.
So as we wrap up here, only a few seconds left, as the spread of bird flu continues, what signs are you watching for that would indicate it's slowing down or spreading more?
Well, I think, again, it seems to be fairly noticeable that the birds start dying, so we should note if there are more positive flocks, we'll probably know about them. Mm. I think, again, hopefully some warm weather and getting through migration, and hopefully we'll get past it.
Ron, thank you for joining us.
Sure.
Ron Kane is a faculty associate and extension specialist in the Department of Animal and Dairy Sciences at UW-Madison. Ahead this hour, poetry can guide us through hard times and help us celebrate the good. Wisconsin's Poet Laureate joins us to talk about our work and to share a poem. What poem do you hold dear? What poem do you carry with you? 800-642-1234. News Update is next here on the Ideas Network.